Nevertheless, the ladies followed along faithfully until the lead vehicle halted, and they saw, in the shine of their headlights, the helpful young men approaching them on foot, and saw, but too late, that each was armed with a black bullwhip. The whips were the property of the stolen truck's rightful custodian, a cattleman. It had been Latham's notion to use them as garrotes, which, after robbing the women, is what they did. In New Orleans, the boys bought a pistol and carved two notches in the handle. During the next 10 days, notches were added in Tullahoma, Tennessee, where they acquired a snappy red Dodge convertible by shooting the owner, a traveling salesman, and in an Illinois suburb of St. Louis, where two more men were slain. The Kansas victim, who followed the preceding five, was a grandfather. His name was Otto Ziegler. He was 62, a robust, friendly fellow, the sort not likely to pass distressed motorists without offering assistance. While spinning along a Kansas highway one fine June morning, Mr. Ziegler spied a red convertible parked by the roadside, its hood up, and a couple of nice-looking youngsters fiddling with the motor. How was the good-hearted Mr. Ziegler to know that nothing ailed the machine? That this was a ruse devised to rob and kill would-be Samaritans? His last words were, "Anything I can do?" York, at a distance of 20 feet, sent a bullet crashing through the old man's skull, then turned to Latham and said, "Pretty good shooting, huh?" Their final victim was the most pathetic. It was a girl, only 18. She was employed as a maid in a Colorado motel where the rampaging pair spent a night, during which she let them make love to her. Then they told her they were on their way to California and invited her to come along. "Come on," Latham urged her. "Maybe we'll all end up movie stars." The girl and her hastily packed cardboard suitcase ended up as blood-soaked wreckage at the bottom of a ravine near Craig, Colorado. But not many hours after she had been shot and thrown there, her assassins were in fact performing before motion picture cameras. Descriptions of the red car's occupants, provided by witnesses who had noticed them loitering in the area where Otto Ziegler's body was discovered, had been circulated through the Midwest and Western states. Roadblocks were erected, and helicopters patrolled the highways. It was a roadblock in Utah that caught York and Latham. Later, at police headquarters in Salt Lake City, a local television company was allowed to film an interview with them. The result, if viewed without sound, would seem to concern two cheerful, milk-fed athletes discussing hockey or baseball. Anything but murder and the roles, boastfully confessed, they had played in the deaths of 7 people. "Why?" the interviewer asks. "Why did you do it?" And York, with a self-congratulatory grin, answers, "We hate the world." All 5 of the states that vied for the right to prosecute York and Latham endorse judicial homicide. Florida, electrocution. Tennessee, electrocution. Illinois, electrocution. Kansas, hanging. And Colorado, lethal gas. But because it had the firmest evidence, Kansas was victorious. The men on the row first met their new companions November 2, 1961. A guard, escorting the arrivals to their cells, introduced them. "Mr. York, Mr. Latham, I'd like you to know Mr. Smith here, and Mr. Hickok, and Mr. Lowell Lee Andrews, the nicest boy in Walcott." When the parade had passed, Hickok heard Andrews chuckling and said, "What's so funny about that son of a bitch?" "Nothing," Andrews said. "But I was thinking. When you count my 3 and your 4 and their 7, that makes 14 of them and 5 of us. Now, 5 into 14 averages out 4 into 14, Hickok curtly corrected him. "There are 4 killers up here and 1 railroaded man. I'm no goddamn killer. I never touched a hair on a human head.